The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
So are you type A, type B, type C, type D? Or are you thinking, I don't know what those mean? Type A people are typically goal-oriented, ambitious, competitive, and impatient. Type B, easygoing, patient, laid back, sociable, adaptable. Type C, detail-oriented, passive, methodical, logical, and cautious. And type D, caring, observant, shy, non-confrontational, and distressed. That last one's kind of a bummer. The other three are very positive.
Yeah.
Is it normal to be able to pick a little bit from all of them?
Yeah. Probably.
I'm sure most people have a little bit of qualities. Like, I definitely have the impatience of type A, but I would have never, even before this and whatever the results are, I would be shocked if I come out as type A. Type C sounds more my speed.
Well, so they have like 10 questions. First one, how do you react when given a deadline? You'll be choosing. You break up the task to make sure you get your work completed by the deadline, or I low-key forget about it until the last minute, or I spend a lot of time worrying about it, or I start working right away and I always get my tasks done well before the deadline.
I feel like I'm both of the middle two, where I spend so much so much time worrying about it that I forget about it.
I definitely do that sometimes. I think more, I don't know if I would use the term worrying, but I spend a lot of time thinking about it. Like when I'm doing whatever that project is, like all those times where you go, what are you staring at? And I go, I'm just thinking. Mm-hmm. And you go, what are you, what? I go, like, I'm just, I don't know, working through something. And it could be one of a million different things. And so, I think that's probably the one I would most likely choose out of this foursome.
But I couldn't be more different.
Really?
Oh, I'm one or four.
Me too.
Yeah, I can't. If I put it off, I'll worry about it. It'll be all I think about. Mm-hmm. And that'll drive me crazy. I just want to get it done.
I want to get the burden off my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or prep so I can get it done.
Like Hot Wings, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about it, but I spend a lot of time planning.
Yeah.
So like a few days ago, my wife and I decided there's a little project that we want to do at our house. Kind of, well, we're on vacation at Christmas. So already my mind is like, okay, well, we have to do this first and then this second and then this third. And we have to do it in that order. And I'll just go back and forth like that for the next month and a half thinking, okay, on this day we're doing this, this day we're doing this. We got to make sure we have all the materials that we need so we can get all of it done. So I'm not worrying. I'm just overanalyzing.
It's on your mind. Yeah. Question two, what's your go-to texting style? I tend to go on long tangents and write super long messages. I'm a fast responder and super direct. I love using fun reactions and emojis. I tend to get anxious about how my messages come off, so I plan out my responses carefully. Well, you guys know that one's not me.
Oh, boy.
I love using fun reactions and emojis.
Yeah.
That's me. If I remember to text you back, I feel like that could have been an option here. Like, I'm not a great texter in general, but when I do, I love using fun reactions and emojis. Because I'm not a fast responder or super direct. I don't really get anxious about how I come off unless I realize by their response, like, oh, I came off wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I worry. I'm like, hey, wait, did that come off wrong? My bad.
Yeah, me too. That's probably the backwards way to do it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
If it's just a day-to-day text, I'm a fast responder because I hate it when people don't respond to me. It drives me bananas. if it's more a more serious text or there's something going on, I am not a knee-jerk responder. I'll sit on it for an hour and think about how to word it just the right way so I don't amp the situation up or whatever. So that one's a little tougher.
It is. Question three, this one I found fascinating because I never really would have thought about this on my own. Which job is most appealing to you? A therapist, an engineer, a political leader, or a CEO?
Engineer.
engineer. I thought about therapist because I do like to help people with problems, but at some point I think I would get overwhelmed with hearing everyone else's problems. At some point I go, okay, I got to back away from this. This is now bothering me. So I think I would have to go engineer.
I picked therapist.
Did you? Kelly, yeah. What'd you pick?
I went between a political leader and a therapist. A political leader just because I really want to know the ins and outs. I really want to know the ins and outs. That's so appealing to me. Whether or not I'd be good at it is debatable. But then second was therapist for sure because I want to know the tea.
I'm so nosy.
So bad. I want to know.
I also picked therapist because I feel like I got a gold star in therapy by proxy with my roommate because she'll tell me things that she's like, yeah, you know, I talked to my therapist and I told her that, you know, you had suggested this or you said this. And her therapist will say like, oh, yeah, Maitland makes a good point. And I'm like, yes.
So you feel like you're good at it?
Yeah. I'm like, even your therapist thinks I'm good at being your sometimes therapist.
What if she doesn't tell you the times that her therapist is like, that person is stupid?
Nah, she doesn't tell me that. So
I bet.
By all accounts, all I know is that her therapist thinks I'm great.
I'm sure that's true. I doubt that the therapist is like, your friend is dumb.
What did you go with for that one?
I was torn between a therapist and a political person. And my page died, but I would probably choose political. And sadly, I'll admit this, it's still a part of the draw is it's a little bit performative. I think I would like that part.
I think it's the majority performative.
Yeah.
I think it would frustrate me beyond everything because I would quickly learn nothing actually happens. I don't know why I'd have to learn that. I already know it. I just said it. What would you be most offended to hear someone called you behind your back? Stupid, unlikable, careless, or inconsiderate?
Just the thought of being called inconsiderate.
Oh my God.
Made my stomach hurt, and I could cry if we went deeper.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I picked that one as well, but it would make you cry?
Yeah. I think because I try so hard throughout like my whole life, like I'm just always running around trying to like consider everybody and make everybody feel like, oh, I've thought of you. I'm going to take care of you, whatever. That like, so if somebody said you're inconsiderate, I'd be like, you just insulted my entire existence.
Uh-huh. So as a people pleaser, that's sort of the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the negative version of, well, how could you not even think about it?
Yeah, to me, considerate, inconsiderate and careless are somewhat of the same.
Yes.
Because obviously you're not considering someone, you're being careless of their feelings. So those two, that's a dead tie for me. I think I'm going to put careless because I feel like I could, if somebody told me, hey, you're inconsiderate, I could show ways that I have been considerate. But when somebody says that you're careless towards them, that's kind of like a feeling.
Yeah.
And it's harder to show like, wait, but I cared in this way because I don't know. Yeah. Those both bother the hell.
Alex, which one did you pick?
Inconsiderate. If somebody said stupid, I'd go, yeah, that's a knee-jerk, whatever. Like, I know I'm not stupid. Like, I have moments that I do stupid things or whatever, but I'm not a stupid person.
Mm-hmm.
And I already know, like, some people think I'm unlikable because I can be tend to appear unapproachable. But I know in my gut I'm a friendly, pretty nice, considerate person.
Like,
but I'm with Maitland, inconsiderate. I really go out of my way to, like, try to like pay attention to what other people are doing and what their needs are and offer them things. And when people come to my house, I'm like, can I get you anything to drink? And you know, if I have people over, I try to have what they like. And so if somebody behind my back was like, he's inconsiderate, I'd be like, God dang it, man. Like that one would bum me out.
See, what did you pick?
I picked unlikable.
Do you think some of us are somewhat immune against being called stupid and unlikable because
Definitely.
It happens to us on the show?
Yeah,
the
probably.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Like I say I'm stupid and the internet says I'm unlikable at some points and I don't disagree.
I've been called stupid by some of the dumbest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Water off a duck.
Sometimes I agree. Sometimes I don't.
Yep.
All right. At a party, you're usually seen, one, engaging in individual deep conversations, two, working the room, impressing others, three, initiating big group games or convos, or four, sticking to familiar faces.
There it is.
Let me press number four as hard as I can.
I just realized that initiating big group games or convos also said convos, because I feel like when I talk to a room, it's never just like just me and Maitland talking. It might be that way for a second, but for the most part, I like to talk to a group. And be like, hey, all of you become friends so then I can watch you talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let me bring you together and do the hard part of initiating, and then watch you run away with it, and I'll just stand here. That
sounds weirdly positively manipulative.
Well, that's like initiating a group game. People who love games love them because it takes all the pressure of having to do anything else off of them and straight to the game.
Here, here.
It's so nice. I think I'm clicking that one.
What is your biggest fear? The unknown, failure, missing out, confrontation.
Failure.
Absolutely.
On many levels, like in many aspects of life.
Like being a dad.
Yeah.
Being a husband.
Yeah.
Being unable to swim. Being unable to fix anything in your house. Just giving examples that mean nothing to me. Failure.
Yeah. Letting people down.
Yeah, failure or confrontation for me. I don't care for confrontation, but I will engage in it when I need to.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think so. Failure for me as well on that one.
What's your biggest motivation? Enjoyment and fun, success and achievement, knowledge and understanding. Just kidding. Finding and fulfilling my deeper purpose.
Enjoyment and fun. Let's go.
Yeah.
Everything else boring.
I'm between that one and success and achievement, but I am not proud of this. But I have no interest in finding a deeper purpose. I don't really believe any of us have one unless we choose that path. And knowledge and understanding, what am I going to do? Be a poet? I know. These are not positive things, but I'm being honest about who I am.
Yeah. I think I would take knowledge and understanding. I like knowing things. I like understanding how things work, how people's minds work, how machines work. Like, I like that.
I like it a little. Like, I'm not indifferent to it, but yeah, I would have,
yeah.
If I were choosing for hot wings for you, I would have picked exactly that for you.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
probably for Steve.
I'm torn between enjoyment and fun and success and achievement, because in order to reach enjoyment and fun, I think you need to have some level of success achievement.
It does seem like it.
Like,
in
you
a
can't
lot of
get
cases.
To one without the other.
Which of these things would irritate you most at work? A stressful, high pressure environment, an instinctual feeling that a coworker is mad at you, not hitting monthly performance goal, or disorganization and lack of clarity. Oh, boy. Those are all. The first one
none
I'm
of those
fine
are
with.
Fun.
A stressful, high-pressure environment. In some cases, I like that. The other three, to varying degrees, don't care for at all.
Disorganization and lack of clarity.
Strong click right there.
Especially my last job. I didn't even work there a year. I still don't know what my purpose was there.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was hired to do.
God, that
I'm not sure. I just kind of treaded water and I'm like, okay.
Did you feel like you had to look for work to do?
Kind of.
And then you did busy work?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, I did a lot of busy work.
Yeah, I think I would choose that one too, because I hate it when I don't know what's going on, because that does make me feel stupid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the only one here. I don't know what's happening.
All right, we're going to hurry, not rush, but hurry through these last two. Your friend just went through a breakup. What's something you would do to help them feel better? One, put in a sad movie, grab some popcorn, and let them cry it out. Two, ensure they're going no contact and have their ex blocked on social media. Three, take them out to do something and try to distract them. Four, remind them of all the reasons they're better off without their ex.
All of the above.
Yeah, I think the only one that I'd put towards the bottom is, like, ensure they're going no contact and have them blocked. Like, that's
situational.
That's something you got to figure out.
That's for them to decide.
Yeah, right. Situational.
But everything else, yes.
I would take them out to do something fun and try to distract them. Yeah, let's go to dinner, man.
But while I do that, I might talk about how much their ex sucked.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's my first move would be to put on a sad movie, let them cry it out, and then while we're sitting there, maybe having some wine, we say, let's keep these good vibes going. And then we go out to dinner. And while we're at dinner, we sit there and we talk about all the reasons that their ex sucks.
How do you handle feedback on a mistake or a slip up? One, I worry about the impact of my mistake and what others think. Two, I make a plan to make sure I'm learning from it. You have to make a plan to make sure you're learning? I suppose. Three, I ask tons of questions so I understand the nitty gritty of what went wrong. I don't sweat. And then four, I don't sweat it and I move on. I worry about the impact of my mistake and what others think.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I didn't turn out the type that I thought I'd be.
I got exactly what I thought I would.
What did you get, Malin?
Type D.
Me too.
I did too. I actually thought I would get type C.
Type D, for those of us that love the D. If there's one thing that's true about you, you feel deeply. Your emotions are often at the center of what you do, which makes you an especially loving and caring person. Some might even call you an empath. Jesus Christ. Just threw up.
Some may call you that, not all.
Only people who think they're empaths call themselves
right,
empaths.
Right.
There are some very notable exceptions.
Yeah, I do believe I'm empathetic. I think I have empathy. I am not an empath.
That also means you're hard on yourself and might have a lot of difficulty coping with stress. You often keep your worries to yourself because you're not a fan of confrontation. But one thing's for sure, you're an exceptional friend. Nah.
Hard on yourself? No, not you.
Yeah, that
never seen it.
Steve, what were you?
Type B.
And what is type B?
Everyone.
That's you knew what you were going to be, both of you, didn't you?
I don't know. Everyone needs a bestie like me, guys. Why? Because I'm fun-loving, easygoing presence that never fails to loosen people up. I'm relaxed, patient, and don't get stressed out that often, which is honestly such a gift. Plus, I know how to build a strong connection with just about anyone. Mm-mm. Although, at the same time, you're definitely a huge procrastinator and lack the urge to complete your tasks sometimes.
And that's what I got, and that couldn't be me at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know about the other stuff. I guess other people have told me that. But you think you're a procrastinator, Steve?
With certain things, not with work stuff.
I'm able to
separate like my work life. Yeah, no, I try to get things done on time, like as quickly as possible, as organized as possible. But at home, like for instance, working on the Comanche, there's a list 20 things long of what I want to do to it, and I'll just be sitting there. I'll be like, I should go out. This would take me 20 minutes. I could go out and do it right now. Check something off the list, which is a big thing for me. I love checking stuff
Surprise
off the list.
That doesn't work.
But then I'm just like, or I could just lay here on the floor and let my kids climb on me and play Dada Mountain.
Yeah, but that's a great thing to check on the list,
but
too.
But it's also partially selfish because I'm like, I'm going to lay here on the floor and they get to climb all over me.
You'll be glad you did that.
Yeah,
you'll
have plenty of time to work on that when they're off and doing whatever else they do.